Amen. Thank you, Brother Strode and Sister Jeannie. Beautiful song, very appropriate, as Brother Wayne has already said. We're so thankful to be in the house of the Lord. And we want to desire an interest in your prayers as we stand before you. We have a passage of scripture that we want to read. And then we'll take a text and we'll try to speak to you for a little while. I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. In fact, I guess I'll read the whole chapter, only 17 verses. If you have your Bible and you'd care to join me as I read, I'd be happy for you to do so. This know also, this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, who was a young preacher. And he said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now that's my lesson for today. And as always, I ask the Lord to bless the reading of His Word, that it will be for our good and for His own honor and glory. Again, I ask an interest in your prayers as I try to speak to you for a little while this morning. I want to use as my thought today, this know also. This know also. Paul wrote two letters to the young preacher Timothy. He was giving him instructions, and he was helping him to get established as a young pastor. He needed, guidance. And so Paul was a seasoned preacher, and he wrote these two epistles to Timothy. And, of course, I won't have time to go into all the things that he instructed him in. But as he brought this second epistle to a close, he said, "This know also." In other words, Paul said, "I've got one more thing I want to share with you." And this phrase, "this know also," is the same as I would have you to know. This know also, I would have you to know. And it also is the same thing as Paul said in the Philippian letter. He said, "I would ye should understand." I want you to know this, and I want you to understand it. And so he proceeded in his instructions to the young preacher Timothy. He was speaking to him about things that would come in the last days, just prior to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of verses of Scripture that have reference to this particular time. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he told them, he said, "Hold fast," and I may have to go over there and read that rather than try to quote it, and I think it would be a good idea to do that. But this is what he said: "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That's important for us to understand, that we have an adversary. He is called in the Bible the devil, and his name is Satan. So he has many devices. In fact, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he said, "We are not ignorant of his devices." He has many devices, and he sets snares, and he sets traps. And he tries to hinder us in our walk with God. And he has a great deal of success, I would think, as well. I know there have been times when he's hindered me, and perhaps he has hindered you at times as well. But he went on in verse 12, and he said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And he said, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Now here Paul refers, I believe, to the last days, and the assault and the attacks that Satan is making upon God's people. He calls them evil, an evil day. And there is a lot of evil in the world. We know that, don't we? And so Paul says, if you want to withstand, and if you want to stand firm, you need the whole armor of God that you might be able to do so. And he said, and having done all to stand. That don't mean, just make a slight effort to stand, but having done all to stand, everything that is necessary to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Then he added to that, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, perseverance there has reference to holding on and holding out. You just keep on holding on and holding on and holding on, and you don't give up. And he said, and pray for me that utterance might be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And so these were some of the instructions that Paul gave to the church at Ephesus about the how to hold on during the evil days. And we need to be prepared, and we need to stand, even in the days in which we live. Some things that we need to know. Now, Paul said, this know also. There are some things that we need to know. One of the things that we need to know is what's ahead of us, what we're facing. Now, the Bible didn't leave us, you know, to second guess what the conditions will be in the end times near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know. The Lord Jesus himself, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, his disciples asked him three questions. He said, one of them was, when shall the buildings of the temple be destroyed, as you have said? The next one was, what will be the sign of thy coming? And the third one was, and what shall be the signs of the end of the world? So we know these things are going to come to pass. We know that the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. But Jesus said, you know, of the day and hour when he is going to come again, no man knoweth. But he did tell them some things. He said to them that there will be wars and rumors of wars, and there will be earthquakes, and there will be pestilence, and there will be false prophets. And he said, and the love of many will wax cold. He said, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And of course, that means not only that he that holds out will be saved, but it means that those who are saved will hold out. I believe that's the correct interpretation of that passage of Scripture. We have the Lord on our side, and we can hold on, and we can keep fighting the good fight of faith, even in the midst of lots of opposition. But I wanted to share something else from that 24th chapter of the book of Matthew with you. And it talks about, because iniquity abounds, the love of many would wax cold. And it goes on and he says, let me find this verse. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, he says, the sun will be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So I wanted to emphasize here, before the coming of the Lord, he says there's going to be great tribulation. There's going to be, you know, a falling away. There are going to be lots of things that'll be taking place, no doubt at the same time. And he said, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So we know that there are some distressing times that's in our future. There are distressing times in our present also, aren't there? We've never been in anything like this before. Perhaps, Jesus said that these things, when they come to pass, he said the end is not yet. Said this is just the beginning of sorrows. Now, I'm no prophet, and I do not understand everything, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if we're not seeing the beginning of the days of sorrow. The things that are coming to pass in our time, and it's pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't know when he's coming, but I do know that his coming is nearer today than it was when he spoke these words to the disciples. It's been a little over 2,000 years since he spoke the words. But it does not mean that they are not true. The Bible said in the writings of the Apostle Peter, and in the third chapter of 2 Peter, he said that in the last days they'd be scoffers who would walk after their own lust. And they would say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. But he said they are willfully ignorant. I believe that the Bible is the truth. Paul said in that passage that I read that he wrote to Timothy, he said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And if that's the truth, and it is, then God cannot lie. And then the inspired Word of God is truth. And up to this point, everything that God has said has come to pass, hadn't it? The prophets of old were inspired of God. And they spoke of things that were coming to pass that would be in their future. And the things that they prophesied came to pass. So the Word of God is true, and the things that he has spoken with reference to the future and the coming of the Lord Jesus, they are true, and they are going to come to pass. And so we need to know these things. We need to know these things are in our future. Now, some of us may be dead and gone before the full realization of this comes to pass. But it's going to come to pass. And so he went on then, and he said immediately after the tribulation, the days of tribulation that he's speaking about here, after those days, then the Lord Jesus is going to appear. Here's another thing we need to know. We need to know that we need to be prepared for that day. It is important that we as Christians, we put on the whole armor of God and we take a stand, that we get serious about serving God, that we put the Lord Jesus first, that we put the Lord's day first. and that we take seriously the work of the church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ was authorized to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so the Lord Jesus, he commissioned his church to do that very thing, to go and teach all nations. Of course, evangelism begins at home. It always has, and it always will. I think we have an obligation to our own family, to our friends, to our acquaintances, to make the gospel available to them. Now, we cannot force them to believe it. We cannot force them, to seek the Lord. But we can tell them about Jesus and about the love that he had for us in giving his life on the cross of Calvary. And I believe that the gospel is the sword of the Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit will take the gospel. And he will, to say the least, he will make them aware of the fact that they are sinners. They need to be saved. And he will draw them to the Lord Jesus if they will only submit. Now, you can fight against the Lord. Many people have fought against the Lord. Many people have fought off of the conviction of the Holy Spirit and have died in their sins. But that's not the will of God. God, the Bible said, would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But he will not force anybody into seeking the Lord and being saved. When God made man, he gave him a free will. And he can exercise that will. And you can yield to God, and you can yield yourself to him and to his way, or you can resist. And the Bible talks about those who have resisted and who did not yield. But we have an obligation, to let people have the opportunity. That's why it's so important for the gospel to go out from our pulpit. I believe that our church preaches and teaches the true word of God. And I believe that it's important that this word go forth and that we give people the opportunity to seek the Lord and to get saved. I want to go back over here just for a minute. And another thing that I think we need to know, and that is, how to conduct ourselves during these times like this. It's important that we set the right kind of example before people. That we do unto others as we would have others do unto us. That we would manifest our love for the brethren and the sisters, for each other. But not only just for us, but we should manifest our love toward a lost and a dying world. And we should try to reach them while we can. Now, I want you to talk about Paul just for a minute. I'll try not to preach too long. But I do want to talk about Paul. Now, Paul was born about 5 B.C. And he lived about 60 years. His mother was a Jew, and his father was a Greek. And he had dual citizenship. The fact that he was born in Tarsus within the Roman Empire it gave to him Roman citizenship. He was educated in Judaism. The Bible said the law was given by Moses, and it was. He went up on Mount Sinai, and God came down upon the mountain, and he gave to him the law. He wrote it with his finger in tablets of stone and gave it to Moses, which means that the law of God is permanent. It is enduring. It has never changed, and it never will change. The law of God is perfect, the Bible says, converting the soul. And so he was educated in Judaism. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel and was taught the law after the perfect manner. And so he was taught this way. He was taught the ceremonial worship and all of these things. He did not like the church that Jesus founded. He did not like the members of the church. He had determined that he was going to destroy it. He did not like the Lord Jesus. Whether he ever saw him in person or not, I don't know. Perhaps he might have right at the very end. Perhaps he might have seen the Lord Jesus in person. But anyway, he was going about trying to destroy this way. And so the Bible tells us that he would not accept that the end of the dispensation of the law had come. He would not accept that. The Bible says the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of heaven has been preached. The old covenant passed away. The ceremonial worship that the Jews did that pointed to the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, it ended. It ended when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But Paul, he would not accept that. He was Saul of Tarsus at that time. He would not accept the fact that Jesus was the Savior. And so he was on his way to Damascus. He'd going to round up some of those Christians, and he was going to imprison them. But he had an experience on that Damascus road that changed his mind, and it changed his heart, and it changed his conduct. God got a hold of him. He was traveling the road, and the Lord Jesus spoke to him personally. He said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, Paul had been a persecutor. He knew what it was to persecute people. And later on, he learned what it was like to be persecuted. Because I read in your hearing from Paul's writing, he mentioned the persecutions that he went through in several different places. Saul was converted. He was changed. He became a new creature. He wasn't the same that he had been before. And I believe that real conversion and salvation, I believe it does that to people. It makes a new creature out of them. Following that experience of salvation, God called him to preach. He said, "I want you to be a witness for me. And I'm going to see to it that you do witness before kings and so on." I won't take the time to go, but you can go to the 9th chapter of Acts and you can read that for yourself. But Paul began to preach immediately after being called. And he began to promote and advocate the things that he had been trying to destroy. You talk about being a changed man. He was indeed a changed man. He wrote to the church at Galatia. He said, I certify to you that the gospel which I preach is not after man. Neither did I receive it of man, but I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. He sent him into Arabia, and there he put him through a theological course. He taught him the Word of God. He taught him the gospel. And Paul went all over the Roman Empire preaching the gospel. And he established about 12 or 13 churches that I know about. He went everywhere preaching. And he said that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And you know, the Apostle Paul, it was his desire to go where the gospel had not been preached before. He said, I don't want somebody saying, he come in there and he's building on what somebody else has done, you know. He said, I want to go preach where the gospel hasn't been heard. If you want to look that up, it's in the book of Romans. I believe it's in the 15th chapter, maybe the 20th verse. But that was his desire, and that's what he done. And so he went throughout the Roman Empire, and lots of people were saved. Not only did he establish all them churches, but the Lord used him to record 13 chapters in the Bible. Now, isn't that something? Isn't that something? How that is really something. And he said, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. I'm doing this because I'm indebted to the Lord for what he done for me. Sometimes I think we have the wrong outlook about serving God. But we are debtors. And we are indebted to the Lord. Not only are we indebted to the Lord, but we're indebted to the people around us. As I've already said, he said, I'm a debtor to the Jew and the Gentile. I'm indebted to the barbarians. You know, they would be ignorant and unlearned people, what we would call them. I'm indebted to them. They have a soul. They need salvation. And I want to take it to them so they'll get saved. And so he went about preaching. And he established churches, and he done a great work for the Lord Jesus. And he understood persecution. I said a while ago, you know, he knew what it was to be persecuted himself. He had false accusations made against him, but he didn't throw up his hands and quit, you know. We are all of us, me too, you know, I'm preaching to Billy. But I want you to know we're all too easily offended. You know, we shouldn't let things upset us and turn us away from following the Lord. We need to keep marching for the Lord Jesus. We're marching into perilous times. We're marching into dangerous times. I said we've never been through anything like this before. This pandemic, you know, and I suppose a lot of what's going on is politically motivated. I'm sure it is. But anyway, it's not a joke. Too many people have been sick, you know, and are still sick. And too many people are dying because of it. So it's a serious thing. But there are other things that are very troubling to me. I've never seen our government divided like it is in all of my life. I'm 86 years old. You know, our legislature has in previous years been able to work together, you know, come to an agreement, do something for the good of the people, You know, but, you know, we're really divided, really divided. And all of this rioting and all of this looting and all of this immorality, all of this stuff, all of this going on all at the same time. Now, I'm not saying, my friend, that this is the great tribulation, but I'm saying it could be the beginning of sorrows. It's important that we be strong in the Lord. It's important. It's important for us to do our duty as citizens, for us to do our duty as patriots, for us to do our duty as Christians, for us to do our duty as church members, you know, because it's not going to get any easier, probably, you know. Now you say, well, you're just preaching doom and gloom. No, I'm just trying to inform you in a small way of what's coming, you know. It is coming. Jesus said it would. And one of these days, He'll come too. And that's going to be the best part of the whole thing, you know, when Jesus comes again. The Bible said that the stars will fall from heaven. And the sun will refuse to shine. And the moon will be turned into blood. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. It's the Word of God. It's going to happen. And then shall appear Jesus, coming in like manner as they saw Him go away. He was talking to them about things that pertain to the kingdom of God. And while He was speaking to them, a cloud received Him up out of their sight. He just went floating right through the air, right up through the clouds and out of sight. And that's the way He's coming back. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Behold, I come quickly. No, that's not the one, but it says that too. He said, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall behold Him, and they that pierced Him shall behold Him. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn when they shall see Jesus coming in power and great glory. All of us who have been saved, we're going to be shouting. I don't think I've ever shouted. I don't know. I've been happy. I know that. But I've never made a big demonstration of shouting that I know of. But somebody wrote a song, said they'll be shouting on the hills of glory. And I really believe there will be when we see Jesus. And when the dead come out of the graves. We had Francis's funeral Thursday. There was only 20 people at her funeral. We went to the graveside to bury 8 people total at her burial. I was sad about all that. But I have no doubt that Francis is in heaven. But anyway, there'll be shouting when Jesus comes. And them graves burst open. And those saints come out of those graves. They're coming out first. They're going to be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption. And we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. And all of those that are living, after the saints have come out of the graves, we're going to be instantly changed too. And then together we're going to rise and meet Jesus. And the Bible said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, I don't know how bad it's going to get. I'm not trying to predict that. But I want to say this, and then I'm going to close. There's no doubt that there's going to be some people that are going to be martyred for the cause of Christ. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 5 that when that fifth seal was opened, that they cried and they said, how long? He said, I saw under the altar the souls of them that had been beheaded for the Lord. And they cried and they said, how much longer before you're going to avenge our blood? And he said, well, it'll be just a little while. I want to read this and then I'm going to close. In this fifth chapter, they cried with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. I wish you all could have heard Brother Skinner preach the other night. He preached on white robes. And boy, was it rich. You're not going to heaven without a white robe. And he said unto them that they should rest a little while, a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So this time is going to get worse and worse before Jesus comes. Bible said evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, I wasn't trying to make you worry. If you're saved, you're going to be all right. If you're not saved, you're not going to be all right. So today, in closing, the number one priority for an unsaved person should be to get right with God. Amen. Make that first. You can't go to heaven without being saved. And then for all of us who are saved, our number one priority should be trying to help other people get saved. I pray God will bless the message. I know it's been scattered and you might say, well, I could have done better than that. You probably could have. But the Lord didn't lay it on you, did he? He laid it on me. And so I just want to encourage you. I'm not predicting, you know, anything. I'm just telling you what the Bible says is going to happen. Amen. And I pray that God will help us and give us grace to stand and souls for our labors. God, if anyone want to say anything this morning.
Amen, the sermon.
Thank you, Brother Strode. Amen. All right. Let's stand. Everyone, please stand. Are all hearts free? All right, we want to be dismissed in prayer.